I want to turn your attention this morning to a topic. And that topic is the five solas of the Reformation. I read to you Ezra 7, verse 10, which is a premise for where I'm going. Now, if I was to ask you, what are the five solas of the Reformation? I do not believe many of you know. The average Christian in the chair, in the pew, don't know the teachings of the fathers. They're simply satisfied with coming and hearing sermons, but there were watershed periods in the history of the Reformation, and some of us don't know what the Reformation is. All you may know is that when you fill out a piece of paper, they may ask, what is your religion? They may ask, Jewish, Protestant, or whatever, and you put Protestant. I suppose that more, many of you don't put Muslim, but you put Protestant. And so true, the Protestant reflects a protest, and we become part of the Protestant movement. But today, the Protestant movement can mean just about anything. It can mean charismatic, it can mean a whole lot of things. So we want to go through, and I know some of you, how many of you have ever heard of the five solas of the Reformation? Okay, a few of you. I don't know how well you know them, but they are taught every year at conferences. Many books have been written. I think our friend gave us a book, Rob Ventura, on going beyond the 5 points. What that means is the Reformation is not a series of doctrines of grace. It's going beyond that, meaning that it is a life. It is how Christians worship, and therefore, that's what we have in a document, the five solas. Now, I've been hearing about the five solas for many, many, many years. I remember when Brother Kalafungwa was first asked to go over to Zimbabwe, he taught the five solas at the embryonic stage of the church. And it's really the groundwork to lay, and I really fought myself, having been struck down with sermon after sermon, never even took the time to inform you of these things. Mm-hmm. And Angela, you know about these things because of the church you came out of. And it makes life easier for the pastor when people are taught biblical Christianity. It makes life easier. And you see how they behave in reference to those who have not been taught. That sort of behavior is quite different in such circles. The five solas of the Reformation is more than a slogan. They are a summary of the Reformed faith. And I'm not so much for slogans and confessions. I say I'm a Christian. But there ought to be a stated written document showing what the church teaches and what we believe. These slogans or titles were developed because the church had drifted in doctrine and in worship. Today, they are widely taught in Reformed congregations as a reminder of what was taught in the early days of the Reformation, in the days of men like Spurgeon and all. And we ought to know these things. Like I said, there are yearly conferences and debates, and you can just, if you're a computer freak, just go and pull up the five solas, and you might see a lot of our friends come up. Pastor Albert Martin, Pastor Alan Dunn, Warren Peele, Jeff Smith. You see all of these names, and then there are others. Last Lord's Day, we were able to have a meeting with a man that I never met in South Africa. And it was so happy to hear this brother from Zimbabwe, Kuzi, saying that his desire is to plant a biblical church in Zimbabwe. Whenever you hear somebody say a biblical church, that's what they're talking about. A church that knows the gospel. We have come from a situation where our church was not exactly a biblical church. And therefore, Reformation started in our church with the help of other men. And like I say, a lot of people in our church have not yet come around. So I think it is incumbent upon me to explain these things about these slogans. One of the main reasons why these five solas were formulated was because I said of what was taught at Rome, specifically about salvation, about church government, about the state of the day. The church at Rome taught that salvation was by grace plus the sacraments and the traditions of the church. If you're familiar with the Roman Catholic Church, that's what they teach. In fact, they got their last rites. Someone is dying, and the sacraments are brought to that person on their deathbed, and they take the sacrament, and they're going to heaven. So we should know these things as intelligent Christians. They also taught an intermediate state after death, where souls go to be purged until they're prayed into heaven. There's an intermediate state. That's contradiction to scripture. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after death, judgment. Now, the Roman Catholic Church and the Anglican Church and many others have moved away from that teaching. Rome taught that the common lay person could not understand the scriptures unless they were interpreted by an hierarchy, pope, priest, or whatever. Meantime, the common people are blinded to what the Bible is teaching. And every Christian has the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit leads every Christian into all truth. Not necessary that a Christian must depend on their own personal Bible study. God has given them pastors and teachers and evangelists for the perfecting of the saints. And any professing Christian who does not find themselves under the tutelage of the gospel has serious problems. So we must teach these things. But that's so much for the Roman Catholic Church. But today, the church faced a more serious problem from modern evangelicals who teach salvation by grace plus works. And this is particularly true of the Arminians, what Cityview had subscribed to during the past, Arminian theology. And you should know that, where they focus on decisionism more than they focus on salvation. And Becky, I'm glad that you're here, because you probably hear your pastor speak on the five solas, right? There you go. And there are people that would walk in here that know what is being taught here today. But there are some people that sit here that don't have a clue. Like I said, it is my fault that I didn't open up this topic before, just preaching. Because I don't like to get too much involved in titles and slogans, because it intimidates people. But this is biblical theology. But today the church faced a lot of serious threats from evangelicals. And they may walk in here too and sit. They major on baptism as a means of grace, decisionism. People can point back to a date many years ago and where they make a decision, and they believe they're saved. Just recently, a pastor said to me, "Oh, you know, he was saved in this year, Meanwhile, the person living like the devil in hell. So we have to be clear about what we believe. And when you believe right, most likely you would behave right. Not that you're saved by your behavior. Today, the word Christian can mean a whole lot of things and may lead us into a ditch. And it's important for us to know what we believe and why we believe what we believe. And the five solas are a guide in showing us these truths, the old-fashioned truths. They are originally given in five Latin words. None of us here speak Latin. But they were originally given, and sometimes we put books on the shelf there and nobody pick up the books. It shows me that most people in our church are not spiritually and biblically informed and don't want to be informed. I'm Christian and that's how I feel. Are you sure about that? What do you believe? Why do you believe what you believe? They were originally given in these five Latin words, sola scriptura, sola Christus, sola fide, sola gratia, and sola Deo gloria. And if they're very easy to understand in English. None of us speak Latin, so I will translate them into English. One, scripture alone. Two, Christ alone. Three, faith alone. Four, grace alone. And five, glory to God alone. Okay? Any other gospel is not the gospel. If you got a gospel where you are sharing in the glory of God, you're going down the wrong path. People say, but I don't give glory. I don't give glory to man. I give glory to God. Yes, you do give glory to God when you begin to brag about the day you accepted Christ. You have to be careful. So this is our work. I will be undertaking each head as a morning meditation. Now, I have discussed this assignment some time ago with our deacons. And some of them are here and they can bear me out on this. But I feel more comfortable in doing this assignment myself. Because we should not only teach doctrine, we must believe doctrine and practice doctrine. So I have chosen to handle this assignment myself. I don't have the great certainty in those who would come and teach it, but I am certain about myself, what I believe, and what I would teach as Ezra chapter 7. Verse 10. Many professors of theology teach doctrine of the faith because they are trained to do this, but they do not have the conviction of the doctrine they teach. The best teacher is the teacher who have learned from the scripture themselves. That's the best teacher. We begin with sola scriptura. When we say sola scriptura, we mean scripture alone is the only infallible, inerrant source of divine revelation and the final authority for matters of faith and practice. This rules out the possibility of external revelation from another source. And you know, some so-called evangelicals believe in they are what you call continuous, where God is still bringing messages by forms of revelation, dreams and stuff. They're called continuous. And you will see these big words come up if you study the subject. The Christians are not continuous, they're cessationists. Where the Bible, God ceased to speak after the book of Revelation, Nigel. So when you hear these words thrown around, don't be intimidated by them. If somebody said, I'm a continuous, that's what they're saying. I believe in tongues and dreams. God spoke to me last night. Man, how do you know he spoke to you last night? Oh, I see the big light. I see the bright light. You see, they read things in the Bible that happened before, and they want to rehatch those things in their personal lives. Like Jesus walked with the two men on the Emmaus Road. And you may say, I was walking along Flatbush, and the next thing you know, Jesus came right alongside of me and talked to me. Rubbish. Wickedness. And that's man. He wants to hear from God independently. Scripture alone is the authority. Articulated by reformers because of the teachings that were at Rome. Scripture plus the Pope. And taught that the common lip. Oh, you can't read the Bible. You can't understand that. Unless you consult with the Pope. In other words, the Pope or the priest became the authority, and the Holy Spirit was not the agent in leading us into truth. And that's how it is today, not only with the RC Church, but with many other denominations. We differ. Scripture alone is the only infallible source of truth. And this is what Martin Luther did with his theses as he nailed it on the church wall. And if you pick up and read about Martin Luther, you would see what happened to him. But Martin Luther made some errors in his latter years where he began to burn down Roman Catholic churches. And you'll probably hear people talk about this too. He got so mad that he went off on the other end. You can read about this. Scripture alone is the only source of divine truth. Salvation must be based on what is taught in the scriptures. If we step out of the realm of scripture in teaching the doctrine of salvation, neither teacher nor follower will have the salvation of the scripture. And this is how dangerous it is. No one is saved by believing the right doctrine. We can hear the right teaching, we can preach truth and never be surrendered to that which we hear or what is taught. It is God who saves sinners. I hope I emphasize this. You can teach truth and you can believe truth, but it is God that saves sinners by giving us a broken and a contrite heart. And if we haven't reached that stage, we need to pray and ask the Lord for that grace. We have today a lot of educated reformers, and we don't want to be simply educated. But a person who has become saved wants to teach truth, and those who are truly saved love truth. David said, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." And meditating on God's word doesn't stop on Sunday between 11 and 12:30. Meditation of God's word continues till next Sunday. Thinking it over, what was said from the word of God. Key support text, we all know, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Now, practically every discussion on sola scriptura, this verse will be forefront, along with many others. but we can't give you a litany of scripture text in this setting, but it is a key passage. What is meant by this verse is that all scripture has to be taken into account when teaching a subject, not part of the scripture, all scripture. Today, a lot of people say that the Old Testament is obsolete. Now, if the Old Testament is obsolete, the gospel is obsolete. When Jesus brought the gospel, there was no New Testament. When the apostles brought the gospel, they had only the Old Testament. They preached from the Old Testament. They quoted from the Old Testament. Today, the New Testament complements the Old Testament. Augustine said, "What is concealed in the old is revealed in the new." You can't build a doctrine in the New Testament without the Old Testament support. You notice how much we study the Old Testament here. And what do you see coming out of the Old Testament? What do you see,
Marcel?
I pick on you. What do you see coming out of the Old Testament?
Christ.
Speak up. Nobody's exempt. I don't care who you is to me. It's a class. Christ comes out of the Old Testament. The church comes out of the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, Stephen called the wilderness sojourn the church in the wilderness. Many who say that they are Christians built a theory or a teaching on the Old Testament and have closed their eyes to the new. Take, for instance, the Seventh-day Adventists built a case on the Old Testament, never considered the new. And that's why it is considered a cult. And many others do the same. Others build a doctrine on the New Testament and close their eyes to the Old Testament. We need both the New and the Old Testament. And Christians have to have the broader picture of the whole Bible, the whole counsel. But Paul said, "For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God." When Paul said that, Angela, he only had the scriptures and the prophets, but yet he was able to teach the whole counsel of God. Another verse that supports our position on sola scriptura is 1 Peter 1:3-4, where we read, "According as his divine power have given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that have called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Here Peter tells us, God has given us in the scriptures. This is now on the New Testament side of the cross. All things that pertain to life and godliness. You want to live godly? You want to do right? The scriptures. And the church is in bad shape today. Very bad shape. Very bad shape. Peter is speaking in the light of false teachers in his day and reminds believers that God has given in the scriptures all things that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that have called us. You want to learn about marriage? The scriptures. And this is a big one, where the church has destroyed the marriage institution. Split down the middle because of that. Poor man wanting to go by the scriptures, he's marginalized and ostracized. just because he's seeing things from a biblical perspective. The scriptures, but the scripture alone does not mean that all men can understand the scriptures. The Ethiopian eunuch had to be guided by someone who was equipped in the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him." 1 Corinthians 2:14. "Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." You have to understand the scriptures from a spiritual perspective. And the natural man, whenever you will hear men preaching, but that man to finish preaching, I would go, "What did he say?" He talk a lot, he use a lot of big words, but what did he say? No spiritual insight in the scriptures. No Christ from the scriptures. This is why those who do not speak according to the rule of scripture have no light in themselves. And there's a rule in scripture and understanding scripture and preaching. There's a rule in preaching, just like how there's a rule in driving. When Brother Colin is teaching the student to drive, he don't just tell the student, "Sit down, drive, go." No, he knows the rules. You know, he had me at the, what was it, 12-hour class some years ago, sitting down there listening to things I already know. I had to go through it. It's the same thing with preaching. There are rules in what's the word? I don't even remember the word. Homiletics. It's a big word. And hermeneutics, the science of Bible interpretation. And your hermeneutics, Bible interpretation, is only going to be based on the source that is teaching you. If you go to a Pentecostal charismatic church, their homiletics and hermeneutics is going to be based on God still bringing revelation. What's that? That's what they believe. That's what they teach. But if you're sound in the scriptures, your hermeneutics and your homiletics would be based on the scriptures. I challenge you, check me out when I go there. Check me out. Check out the hermeneutics and the homiletics. And that's why I say sometimes we come here and we speak and we're not following the rules of teaching and preaching. It's disgusting. It's that bad. You don't throw anybody at people. Scripture alone is not only the basis for salvation, but scripture alone is the basis for worship. People would worship what they believe. We are living in a day when Christians worship is no longer regulated by the scriptures. Special music, steel band, greetings, happy birthday, happy this, when is the next anniversary? Regulated by the scriptures. God is God, and God has the right to tell us how to worship him, like you tell the woman, Samaritan woman, about the true worshipers. People are more comfortable in a worship that make them feel good than a worship that calls them to be attentive to God's word. I have sat in worship settings where the Bible was not even read or open. I'm not calling no names. The Bible didn't even have an evil, unless the preacher read a text, and sometimes it was two verses. When he comes and read two verses, make a short reference. But the Bible is not featured. We read the Old and we read the New Testament. What you think we do is because of formality? Because the Bible is the center of our worship. The Word of God. People don't like that. They would rather have Whitney Houston come up here and sing three songs, special songs about something, and go. And then applause. You don't applause, but sometimes in Africa, I said, don't clap. There's nothing to clap me about. Jesus don't need no clapping. Worship has to be biblical, scriptural. You may be fortunate in some churches if the preacher read the Bible. If the preacher that is reading the Bible is a man, you may be fortunate. You hear what I said? You may be fortunate if the one reading the Bible is a man. The Lord says in John 4 that they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now you can see that the clock will be defeating me in these lectures and I would have to stop short. But what I'm saying is worship should be regulated by the scriptures. Pastors are to uphold and preserve biblical worship in the sanctuary. And people will get annoyed. People want to be seen and heard. And they'll get quite annoyed. I've had many throngs here because I'm seeking to establish a sanctuary that glorifies God. One thing I don't see, I see. But you have to decide what you want. We are to uphold. We are at fault. Just like Eli was at fault for not speaking to his sons, pastors will be at fault. Furthermore, though reformers hold to doctrine and scripture alone, there are prohibitions. We are told not to add to the scriptures. We are told not to take away from the scriptures. Now, I am going to stop here because I do not want to set a bad example. I have another page and a half that I would have to finish and come back to another time. But I also have a few applications before I leave this site. And what does it mean to you when I talk about scripture alone? Do you honor God's word? Well, let me tell you, if you honor God's word, and listen to me, there are certain things that you should stop doing and start doing. My assessment of many people, they're not honoring God's word in this church. Nobody can honor God's word perfectly. Take the for instance, the Lord's Day. Are you honoring God's word? Read it, and you will see what is being taught in the Sola Fides. Peter says that we are not only saved by God's word, we are kept by God's word. True faith unto salvation. Do you share God's word with your family? If you got children, one of the questions that was asked of Kutsi, and Mason, you are here, Colin, you are here. I don't remember who asked it. I think it was Off-Neil. I hope he wasn't spitting up in the ear because it'll come back in his face. Kutsi, this Zimbabwe, and his wife sat there, and the question was, how is your personal devotional life? I know you're busy at school. I know you're busy. How Kutsi was able to say, every day, I sit with my wife. She's sitting right there with him. And we have devotions together. In calling a man to the ministry, we always look at his education. Often he lacks a sensible question. How is it with your personal devotion life? Somebody asks a question. How is it with your moral purity? Are you always touching up women in the church? Seeing places with them? These are questions that we don't like to ask people. But these are questions you ask men of God. I look for those things. And I warn some of you about these things. Always smelling behind women. Stay clear. There's some personal applications. Ezra prepared his heart to seek the Lord and to do it and to teach it in Israel. This verse sets forth the biblical Christianity that we're talking about. Ezra prepared his heart. And by the way, it is God who prepares your heart to seek the law. The law is the scriptures. First step in reformation, the scriptures. Second, to do it, to apply it. And to do it, we like to hear preaching, but we should practice. Three, and to teach in Israel. Next time I will come, I will move from sola scripture to maybe sola Christus. This is the first so-called sola lecture. And by the way, I have not used anyone's book or anyone's material. So if you think that I'm here copying another man's work, you are wrong. This work is Pastor Tate's work. And if there are any errors in this work, they're my errors. But if there's truth in this work, you need to give God glory. Let's pray.